Praise the Lord. Welcome to the house of God today. Look to the beautiful word of the Lord. Title today, A White Stone and a New Name. Title taken out of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. Let's read this scripture. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. What is this name that no one knows but the one who receives it? How do we interpret this verse? And today I trust that the Holy Spirit will give us understanding, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. We must open our heart, open our understanding, and receive the word of the Lord. Take the truths of God deep down into our spirit so they change our life and become a transforming power within us. Let's read this again. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone. This is the promise of the Lord to us. And on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. It says to the one that overcomes, the one that overcomes the flesh, the devil, the world system. How do we overcome? Well, there are two ways that we overcome the world, that we overcome sin and the powers of darkness. We overcome in a positional way, and we overcome in a practical way. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the amount of word that's in our testimony, by the strength of the word of God that's built into our lives. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 to 5, and 1 John 2:14, these are the two sides of overcoming. One, the positional. The other, the practical. 1 John 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Those that accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and forsake all else to follow him, they are the ones who are born of God. Jesus said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our believing, our trusting in the Lord. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We rise in our salvation experience. We've overcome the world. We're born of God. We belong to Jesus Christ. And then 1 John 2 and 14 says, the second part of that verse, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I've written to you because you're strong. You're strong in the Lord. The Holy Spirit has drawn you off your own strength, which is pitiful weakness, onto the strength and the power of the Lord. You've taken the Word of God into your life. You've memorized, you've pored over the pages of the Word until the Word of God is in you. It abides in you. It's alive in you. It's at home in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. You know how to defeat temptation. You know how to overcome the devil. You know how to overcome negative emotions. You know how to live above the temptations of this world. That's the practical side. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome as the Word of God is built into our lives. Now, Jesus said to the one that overcomes, to the one that overcomes, I will give a white stone. And on that stone, a new name written, which no one knows but the one who receives it. A white stone and a new name. Jesus Christ wants to give us a new name. And he has in our experience with him. I find it very significant that in a number of cultures of the world, when people come out of their heathen lifestyle and out from the worship under pagan deities, that especially India, as we know firsthand, when these sons and daughters of God come to the waters of baptism, that their leaders, Their pastoral team gives them a new name. A new name, and it's a Bible name. It's a Bible name, a word out of the scriptures, and they take this new name, and for the rest of their life, they're called after the great men and women of the Word of God. It signifies to them the shedding of their old life, the pagan deities of the past, the pagan lifestyle, and now they're going to walk with the Lord forever. And the intent is that that there be a prophetic inspiration by the name that has been given them, and even an impartation of the Holy Spirit, that this person now begins to live in the wonder of their new name, who they are, forsaking the old, forgetting what was behind, and pressing on to be that son and daughter of God in fullness. Jesus Christ wants to change our name. And the other side of the picture is that the world wants to change our name. The world wants to give us a name other than the name that God has given us. The world wants to change and twist us so that we take on another identity and another name and begin to live under the power of a world inspiration. But the Lord has come to speak to us today and to help us. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Four young men in Daniel chapter 1, and Babylon wanted to change their name and did so outwardly, but couldn't touch the spirit of these young men in their dedication to the Lord. Babylon wants to change your name. The world wants to change your name. In the final analysis, there are only two cities, only two destinies. We either make our way and are part of the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the city of God, which has stood for those men and women of faith since the beginning of time, a city of which the earthly Jerusalem was but an illustration, an example. There's only one city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. And we're either part of that city, citizens of that heavenly kingdom, or we're part of the other city, which is Babylon. And those two cities are set over against each other in the Word of God. Babylon, by most basic definition, is the godless, immoral world. The godless, immoral world. Now, Daniel and his friends were taken out of their situation, out of their lifestyle, brought to a heathen land, the land of Babylon. Let's read Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed, these royal princely children, these teenagers, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. These young men, 15 to 18 years of age, godly young men that had come out of Judah, were now taken captive to a far-off foreign land, Babylon, to serve another administration. And the word to these young men was that they should forget their past, forget the gods of their fathers, forget your old-time religion. Forsake the faith of your fathers. Babylon reigns. It's a new day. If you want to prosper, if you want to succeed in life, tune in to the spirit of the age. Go with the world. Go with its purposes. Go with its interests. These young men, 15 to 18 years of age, were now separated from their home and family, from everything that they'd known of the constraints of godliness of the past and the restraints of their mom and dad, their parents' house. They were now entering the University of Babylon. It was a new day for them. They were free to make their own decision how they would live their life. Would they cast off the faith of their fathers. Many young people, when they finally leave their parents' home in their late teen years, as it were, in high school and go on, many forsake the Lord. Many are brought into a situation, different philosophies, different world spirit than they've been under, and they begin to crumble and they begin to be drawn away. These young men had that same temptation. But would they serve the Lord? There are many young people, children that are brought up in godly homes that when they were born, parents dedicated them to the Lord and gave them prophetic names and spoke over them Bible names and prayed over them the prayers of God. But again, as they grow older, some of them forsake the Lord. They forget who they are, and Babylon changes their name. Babylon gives them a new direction and a new influence in life. These young men came under temptation, and we're going to look at the temptations that are represented in their names today and receive understanding for our own lives. The name Daniel, first of all, changed to Belteshazzar. Daniel means, "My judge is God." My judge is God. Daniel lived with God as his standard. Daniel lived with a sense of spiritual accountability. Daniel knew that one day he would stand before the judge of the whole world, the whole earth, and give account of his life and how he had served the Lord and what he had done. And he said, that is going to be my guiding principle, that one day I will leave this life and I will stand and I will answer to the judge of all judges. My judge is God, and I will serve and walk before him properly. What a principle to guide. What a motivation that every one of us would have, that we live beyond this life and that we are accountable for heaven. We're accountable for spiritual life and ministry. I love the quote that was on the screen at our prayer service this last Tuesday night. John Wesley said, "I judge all things only in the light of what they will gain for eternity." I judge all things only in the light of what they will gain for eternity. To live with this spirit, the Apostle Peter said, that seeing that all these things will be dissolved, he said, everything about us, life in this earth, everything in this world, everything we have and hold will one day melt away. He said, seeing these, that all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all godly conduct and holiness? We will stand before the Lord. Daniel, we want to change your name. We want to call you Belteshazzar, Bel's prince, or keepers of the treasures of Bel. Bel was one of the chief Babylonian deities. We want to make you treasure, keeper of the treasures of Bel. Don't put your treasure into the heavenly things. Don't put your treasure beyond this life. Daniel, if you want to prosper in this world, put your treasures into this world. Begin to serve the interests of this life. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and corrode, where thieves break through and steal, and things break down." Jesus said, but put your treasure in heaven. Put your treasure in heaven where it'll last for eternity. Put your treasures, put value into the heavens. Put value into kingdom life beyond this world and that forever life in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said these words, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your affections be. There will your heart be. He didn't say where your heart is, there your treasures will follow. He said where you put your treasures is where your heart will follow. See, I can't trust my heart. I can't trust my own human affections. But I can make a decision that I will put my treasures into the eternal kingdom, that I will serve God, that I will live with a view to eternity. And as I put my treasures into spiritual values and heavenly life, something happens. My heart follows along. The affections of my life begin to draw to where my treasure is. Now, Jesus said on the other side, if you begin to put your treasures into this life, interests in this life, and they become your focus, and you neglect spiritual values because you're so concerned about this life and Everything you can enjoy here, what's going to happen is your heart is going to follow that. Your affections are going to be drawn to that. Daniel said, my judge is God. I live with a sense of eternal accountability. You can change my name, but you can't change who I am. I serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They can change our name, but they can't change who we are. Our judge is God, and we will stand before him one day, and we want to stand with joy and with honor because of our life lived before him. The next young man, Hananiah, changed to Shadrach. Hananiah means the grace of God, favored of God. Shadrach, friend of the king. Hananiah, the grace of God. Is there anything more wonderful than the grace of God? His incredible kindness on our lives. Psalm 103, think of it. It says that he has not dealt with us according to our sins. And he has not punished us according to our iniquities. His mercy is high as the heavens and his truth to the clouds. Our Lord is gracious, it says, and compassionate. He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. He's gracious to us. He's merciful to us. What could be greater than to live with that sense of the grace of God, that favor of the Lord upon our lives? And yet some forsake the grace of God. Some forsake that incredible kindness that God shows to them, where they can live in his presence with such acceptance and with such blessing. You see, Babylon wants to change our name. Babylon wants to change us from the grace of God to being a friend of the king, Shadrach. And that's the temptation of popularity. Popularity. Become popular with friends. Become popular with those around you. What a pull that is on a young life. To find acceptance with the crowd. To find acceptance with the peers. Come on, Babylon wants to change your name. It's a new day. You don't have to live in the old-fashioned ways. You don't have to walk in those Bible ways. Come and find the life, find the joy. Enter into the strength of friendship in the earth. And how many fall to that popularity and they try and find their significance and their self-worth in what friends about them say about them. Draw them into that. Draw them into that popularity. It's so fleeting. It's so limited. Trading in the grace of God, the favor of Almighty God, it's incomprehensible that someone would leave the kindness, the incredible kindness of God, to go and find favor with man. Man whose end is so sudden and so final, but God is forever. Hananiah said, you can change my name, but you can't change who I am. I will live under the grace of God. I will live my life under the favor of the Almighty. Let his incredible kindness touch you today. How good he is to those who serve him. How wonderful he is to those who give their lives to him. To walk in that friendship with God. Favor with God must be chosen always over favor with men. Favor with God, to walk with God, to be a friend of God instead of a friend of the world. The third young man, Mishael, whose name means who is what God is. Meshach, belonging to Shach. Mishael, who is what God is. This is the spirit of worship. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? This is the worship level of a Christian. Who is what God is? And one of the most powerful and glorious experiences we can have this side of heaven is to stand in the corporate worship anointing of the house of God. to stand in the presence of God's people and begin to worship the Lord like we do week after week, like we did this morning, and to feel that felt presence of God come down upon our lives. For the Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that God inhabits the praises of his people, that when his people gather and begin to worship and lift up their hearts in adoration to him, he comes by his felt presence and settles down in their midst. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. There's nothing better than that worship anointing, to feel that felt presence of God upon our lives, to worship in the beauty of holiness, the Bible says. Worship in the beauty of holiness, purity, offering up our lives to God in that level of surrender. No, Babylon wants to change our name. Change our name from Mishael to Meshach, belonging to Shaq. Now look at the counterfeit to the high and holy worship anointing of God's presence on your life. Look at what the world wants to bring you to, friend of or belonging to Shaq. Shaq was the old Babylonian god who later appeared as Venus. And this was the goddess of fertility, the goddess of desire and beauty and sexual love. Babylon wants to change your name, take you out of the holiness of God, take you out of that high intimacy in the worship of God, and bring you down to the gods of this world, the goddesses of immorality and fertility and sexual love. And Babylon says, forget that high and holy worship, that pristine blessing of God, that worship where you feel like you're living on the edge of heaven. How about a little fornication? How about some love in this life? How about some sexual desire? Give yourself to that. And that's the counterfeit to the high and holy presence of God. And the world wants to draw men and women into that. So they live their life out on a very shabby level of life and living, belonging to Shaq. Mishael said, you can change my name, but you can't change who I am. I will not trade in the high and holy presence of God, the felt presence of God, the beauty of holiness on my life for something so defiling. No matter how alluring, no matter how wonderfully it's presented, the world runs after immorality, runs after illicit entertainment, runs after illicit material. Because that's the highest and the best that the powers of darkness can offer, the flesh of man and the flesh of woman. But God says, my high and holy presence is far, far beyond anything of those things of the world. I thank the Lord today that we can live with the name Mishael, who is what God is. We serve the Lord. We walk in holiness. We honor his house. We love the worship anointing above everything else. The felt presence of the Lord on our lives. The final young man was Azariah. His name was changed to Abednego. Azariah means whom Jehovah helps. Jehovah is my helper. Abednego, a servant of Nego, or servant of the shining fire. Azariah, whom Jehovah helps. Jehovah is my helper. Here was a young man who lived with a sense of the help of God in his life, that God was helping him, that God was impelling his life. As the scripture says of these young men as they served the Lord, God gave them skill and understanding beyond all other young men and women who were being educated at the time. God gave them skill. You see, it's not simply that when I'm in trouble, now I need God's help. God says, I am your helper. I will impel you. I will help you. I will be in you for you to accomplish and be far more than what you could be on your own. Azariah lived with a sense, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm filled with the help of God. His eyes were wide open. He was alerted. God is going to help me today. God is going to help me to do things that normal man could not do today. I live a miracle life. There is a power of God. There is a supernatural force inside of me, the Spirit of the Lord. It was said of Jesus that zeal for the house of God consumed him. The zeal of God was in Jesus. That zeal was consuming him. He opened up his life to the zeal of God, and that zeal impelled him for the house of God and for the kingdom of God. The zeal for your house has eaten me up. We should have a zeal for the house of God. We should have that sense, God is helping me and I will fulfill the work of the Lord in my life. The world says, no, we want to change your name. Abednego, servant of the shining fire. Take on the fire of another kingdom. The Babylonians worshiped the fire god. They worshiped the fire. See, the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, that his fire burns in Zion, that God's fire and his furnace are in Jerusalem. But the world says, no, take on another fire. There's another zeal that you should open yourself up to. Forget the zeal of God. Forget zeal for his house. Take on zeal for the world. Find your treasure. Find your shining fire in the world. Begin to draw to its entertainments. Begin to draw to its media and its sports in a way that sooner or later, all of a sudden, you have more zeal for those things than you do for the house of God. You'd rather watch a sports cast than be in the prayer room. Rather watch some program. Some filthy Hollywood thing brings out. Then be in the house of God seeking the Lord. See, Babylon wants to change our name. Get a zeal for something else. Get a zeal for something else. Be more excited about the zeal of things for this world than the zeal for the house of the Lord, his presence, his kingdom. My Lord, Babylon wants to change your name. I'm feeling it right now. I believe there are people here this morning on the verge of decision. And you feel the pull of the world. You feel the pull of this change of name, of who you are. This world it's got pressure. We're going to take them and we're changing your name. But you have to stand against the forces of temptation and of the world and of the power of darkness and against the forces of your own flesh life and say, you can try and change my name, but you will never change who I am. I will have a zeal for the Lord. I will serve the Lord and I will serve him with all my heart. To him who overcomes. See? To him who overcomes, I'll give a white stone. It's not just for any believer. It's to him who overcomes. Comes under the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, lives a life that is pure and holy. Stumble, fall, sin so quick to repent, Lord, I'm sorry, that wasn't right. What I just said, it wasn't right what I just looked at. Him who overcomes, you live under the power of the blood of Christ, that cleansing, healing stream of the Lord. And you live by the power of the Word. Strong, the Word of God abides in you, and you overcome the devil. To him who overcomes, Jesus said, I will give a white stone. Let's go back to Revelation 2:17. And in the stone, a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. My, it doesn't get much better than this. To him who overcomes, I'll give a white stone. The white stone is that incorruptible rock nature of Jesus Christ, the new creation, life in us. a white stone. The rock nature, the purity, incorruptible, undefiled. It doesn't pass away. It's eternal inside us. The eternal life of the Spirit of God resides in us. Jesus said to Simon, as he called him fully into a disciple of his in John 1:42, he looked at Simon, he said, your name is Simon, but you are going to be called Cephas or Peter, meaning a rock. You're Simon right now, but you're going to be a rock. Simon in the Aramaic, and there's sense, and the illustration is that Simon refers to a reed. Said, Simon, you're a young man, and you're like the reeds of the water. You blow with the wind. Whatever emotion is on you, whatever wind is blowing across the land, you are impelled by it. You bow to it. You go with it. But God's going to do something in you, and he's going to take that reed nature out of you. He's going to take that instability out of you. He's going to take that wavering nature out of you, where you're one thing one day and another thing the other. And one day you're on the mountain and the next day you're dejected and depressed. God is going to take that spirit out of you, Simon, and he's going to put a rock nature inside of you. And you are going to be strong and you're going to be stable because your life will be founded on the rock, Jesus Christ the Lord. He lifted us, the Bible says, out of the miry clay, out of a pit of sin and darkness, and he set our feet upon a rock, and he established our ways. Peter himself wrote in his first letter, and he said, all flesh is as grass. Says the wind blows and the grass of the field perishes, it withers and perishes away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. That's the rock nature. It goes down inside of us and it's quickened in us. God wants to put that stability to him who overcomes. He said, I'll give you a white stone. I'll give you that incorruptible divine nature. So precious, so holy, so pure inside you. And then he said these words, and I will write on that stone a new name, which no man knows but he who receives it. So beautiful. This is the individual calling and identity on every believer. That Jesus Christ pulls us so close and whispers in our hearts something that no one else has heard and will ever hear. It's for every person. And that new name that he writes on the inside that he speaks to us is who we are in him and how much we mean to him. How valuable we are, how much he loves us. He gives us a new name so that we know who we are in Christ. We know our calling, we know our identity, we know how to walk. We're secure in his love and his trust. It doesn't matter. The voice is about us. Sometimes we hear a lot of opinions about ourselves from other people. Sometimes there are a lot of criticisms. Sometimes there are a lot of things to be said, but those can all be set aside because you know what Jesus has said about you and who you are and what you mean to him, and nothing can ever change that for time or eternity. Hallelujah. Don't you love when he whispers in your soul? Maybe difficulty outside you. Voices of men, disturbances all about you, but you come into his presence and you need his touch and you hear him calling your new name and you know who you are. No other people can get an indication of who you are, who your name is by watching you, but they've never heard that voice and they've never heard that name. It's to you and to you alone. That is how intimate, that is how beautiful, that is how loving and caring the Lord is. There's a name for you and you alone. To him who overcomes, I'll give a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows but he that receives it. I trust this morning as we close out that you will take a few minutes as we in the worship and allow the Lord to speak to you, tell you who you are. You may be under the power of other influence right now. There are other names that are being projected on you. The world wants to give you a name. The circumstances of life, the hardships, the difficulties you've been going through the problems. They try to put a name on you, but this morning, cast off the name. Say, world, you can try and change my name, but you cannot change who I am. I belong to the Lord. I belong to Jesus Christ. And you ask the Lord, would you ask the Lord in a fresh way today to whisper in your heart who you are? Your identity, how much he loves you, what you mean to him, and let that strengthen you today. Walk in the power of the new name of Christ. Walk in the power of the new name that's upon your life and upon your spirit. Let's close out with that beautiful song we sang earlier, Majesty. His grace has found me just as I am. Forever, forever we live in his love. Let's close ourselves in with the Lord for a few moments this morning. The altars are open. Why don't we stand together? If you'd like, you feel you need a fresh separation to the Lord, break off some of those names, break off some influence that comes on your life, has come on your life. You want to be a Daniel. My judge is God. Hananiah, fresh touch of the grace of God. Mishael, fresh worship of the Lord, free from the pollution, immoralities of the world. Azariah, Lord, fresh zeal from you this morning. If you'd like to come and surrender yourself, if you feel the need for that, please make your way to the altars today. But all of us, let's listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and as he speaks to us and guides us in our life today.